Welcome.
Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. You made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN. Is Fresh Prince going to have two aunts when they come back? Because they're both there.
Well, what is the backstory on this, Billy? Because we didn't talk about this at all, the Fresh Prince reunion. Evidently, the Aunt Viv stuff was something that made people uncomfortable because Will Smith admitted to being sort of, a bit difficult on set. What are the details from the Fresh Prince reunion that have been interesting to you?
I don't know anything about it. I mean, I'm just looking at these Instagram stories. I don't know if this is like a one-off. I don't know if it's like a photo shoot. Are they doing like a long episode? I don't know where it's going to air. It says it's on HBO Max.
Yeah, it's HBO Max, and I think it's just one show. I think it's one reunion show, Chris. It's not more than one, is it?
I believe it's one. There's a lot of pressure on this, right? It's better that it's just one as opposed to a whole, like, you know, Fuller House type thing. I'm nervous about it, aren't? Because the expectations are going to be so high. I feel like and if you just look at Will Smith's recent track record, like, I'm just nervous about it because I feel like he could do some damage here if it's just bad.
Well, how about this though? Because it's out already. It's available, is it not? Because
I think it is. Actually,
I mean, it's got glowing reviews so far.
All right, I would
ride in a bike. How can you screw that up? You know?
Because he's 50 instead of 20.
Yeah.
No,
I mean it's a all in nostalgia play, right? It's hard to screw nostalgia up.
You guys tell me, right? Because Happy Days, Jimmy Kimmel, I thought, and All in the Family, he did some interesting stuff where he was doing recreations, tapping into that nostalgia. Chris and Billy, you guys, I don't know. Roy, I don't know how you feel about Fresh Prince. Like, are you as interested in Fresh Prince as Billy and Chris were?
Yes, I was. It was one of three black shows on television all on the same network with The Cosby Show and A Different World. So I was very interested. And I saw the reunion last night. Janet Hubert, who played the original Vivian, had a heart-to-heart talk with Will Smith about what went on. And apparently she was in an abusive relationship and pregnant with her husband's child. And she took it with her on set, and Will kind of made it hard for her to actually act. And eventually when it became time for her to sign a contract, she felt like she wasn't getting paid enough, so she just left.
Well, she was hurt by it, right? I don't know what they did with the interviews, but I saw some of the clips that went viral of it being a bit of a shock to people. This was interesting yesterday on the local hour with David Sampson, where David Sampson is laughing at me and the idea that I would be naive about how wrong it is that baseball players and basketball players and football players would have access to the vaccine before sick people and old people who need it more. And David Sampson, cutthroat mercenary about business, laughs at me like, welcome to capitalism, welcome to the real world. That's how business works. We as a country are run as a business. And then he got his heart broken because he views the movies and Hollywood and entertainment with the same mythology and child's eyes that some people view sports, that Netflix wouldn't care about what content was. They're just grabbing sort of demographics and data that they need on things so that they can exploit what's successful and who to market stuff to, that it's a scientific cold approach to it. He found that part of it disillusioning. Don't you imagine that people watching Fresh Prince Reunion were heartbroken that behind the veneer of a fun television show that makes people happy, there was Will Smith, who's got a bit of a pristine reputation until recently, admitting to being a bit of an ego head when it came to his relationship with Aunt Viv. I would think that people who love that show would find that a little too real, hurtful.
I think if you really care about the show and you're paying attention, perhaps, and you're probably right. I don't think there's that many people who pay that much attention and care that much. They just want to be entertained. They just want some nostalgia. They just want to be brought back to their childhood.
So, Roy, how did you feel about Aunt Viv? How did you feel about that? Will Smith apologizing to her for not being a good enough teammate?
Well, they both apologized to each other because Janet, I mean, she lit him up over the years about because he told her that it was him that got kicked off the show.
She thinks it ruined her career. She thinks that right there ruined what was remaining of her career.
Rightfully so. If Will wanted her on the show, she would have stayed on the show.
Right, absolutely right. And she's a pretty prominent actor, just like James Avery was. I mean, she was in Players and Everything, so it pretty much ended her career. But it was great to see them forgive each other, and the hug was great, and her being revealed to the rest of the cast was great as well. So I was happy seeing that.
Billy, Chris, you don't care so much about this show that you have found where this is and hunted it down yet.
So that's what I was realizing that I was going to tell you. I think I like the idea of these nostalgic reunions more than I actually like them, because I know I get myself worked up. I'm like, wow, that's really cool. The Fresh Prince is going to have a reunion. Oh, wow. Fuller House is coming back. Oh, Boy Meets World is going to be on again. Oh, Saved by the Bell. And I've watched none of them. So I get like, oh, wow, this is great. And I'm wondering if I'm alone in that, like seeing this news. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be so cool to see these people together again. And then I just simply never get around to seeing them together again.
It's happening to me as well. West Wing is my favorite show of all time. And they had a reunion. Mike mocked it.
God.
Yes, but I still wanted to see it. And I still haven't seen it.
Just avoid it.
I'm literally learning in this conversation right now that this is just a reunion that is like an interview type thing. I was thinking the whole time that this was going to be something where they're like doing an episode of the Fresh Prince years later.
Yeah. Oh, wow. That's what the friends
like a table read.
Yeah. Like that's why at the beginning of this, I was like, oh, there's a lot of pressure on this. If this is bad, like I sounded like an idiot thinking that this was like an actual Fresh Prince show.
Been a recurring theme for you this week.
Yeah.
HBO Max is also doing the Friends reunion. Too. So it's good that they have like a template for success with this Fresh Prince one.
Given the way that comment by you started, Chris, it could have gone a lot worse because I would thought you were going to say this is the first time you realized there was two Aunt Vivs, which would have been really bad.
Chris, you are shaking your head sadly. Why are you?
It's been a rough week, man. I'm going to bounce back. Next week, I'm going to be back. You watch.
It's forgivable, Chris. We all understand it's been a little turbulent lately. And so when you're bad, it also helps that you're bad and you sink into it and you suffer it and then everyone gets to laugh, including your castmates here. Billy,
enjoy it.
Billy does seem to delight a little more than most when Chris falls into a sewer pipe.
Chris, I love you, and I don't say that often enough. I wouldn't put too much pressure on yourself for next week because there's only 2 days, so there's a lot of pressure, and Monday is going to be a high-pressure situation because if you have a bad Monday, there's no saving it for the week.
You're already carrying today into the weekend, which is tough. Yeah. Having a bad day on a Friday is really bad, but Billy's right. Having a bad Tuesday headed into Thanksgiving week, you better bounce back quickly.
But he also said that next Monday, the rare Monday, that feels like a Thursday.
Oh, I love those.
It is the rare and maybe only, unless there's one of those. Is there one of those during the Christmas break that we get off around here?
Occasionally.
It's also the rare Tuesday that feels like a Friday.
You guys, I did want to get into with you, though, as we're talking about nostalgic shows from your youth. Stugatz and I are older, and our youth is filled with different landmarks. Roy straddles the fence here where he's got some knowledge on our old stuff. But when I think of Michael J. Fox, I don't think of Back to the Future.
Family Ties.
I think of Family Ties, yep. One of the most popular television shows of that period back when there were basically three network channels.
They're doing a reunion for that. Keep that in, Mike.
Mike, don't delete any of that, please. Don't edit any of that.
That's what I meant by Stugatz, keep it in.
No, yeah. But Stugatz has gotten very comfortable with taking stuff out here.
No, when... I have not.
You have not?
He's just gotten comfortable with saying take that out.
Yeah, keep it in.
So he has announced, Michael J. Fox has, that he is retiring from acting because that illness, Parkinson's, is such a ravager from the inside that the illness will not allow him to act anymore. And so pretty quietly a couple of days ago, Michael J. Fox, it was announced, had retired from acting. And it made me think, I don't know, Stu Gott, speaking of our childhood, what you felt when the family of Tom Seaver, a champion pitcher for the 1969 amazing Mets, had to announce that they were basically putting Tom Seaver in a home for dementia, that what you remember of Tom Seaver and what the family remembers and loves about Tom Seaver, they were putting out a statement that that person no longer exists. It's just a shell of himself waiting to die. And then he later died after that. I was made profoundly sad by Michael J. Fox announcing that he would no longer be in public in front of us, because for so long he has been so brave, Stu Gott, about continuing to work and continuing to talk to people as he shakes in front of you and looks very vulnerable and still in some ways physically looks like the child actor who was in Family Ties. Like, outside of this disease, Michael J. Fox doesn't seem to have aged very much. It's just this disease is such a ravenous heartbreaker. And if you've read any stories about him and the love his wife has for him and taking care of him all of these years.
And how difficult a road it's been for her.
I mean, just so hard. But he is he really has been a monster inspiration, and I'd be curious what that retreat, I imagine it's going to combine with a retreat from public life, Stu Gott. If he's saying, I'm no longer acting anymore, my guess is that we're not going to be seeing a whole lot of Michael J. Fox on the late night circuit.
Probably not. Alex Keaton was the character's name. Yeah, it makes you sad that he was a big part, not just with that show, and that's what I remember him for, but also those movies as well, Back to the Future.
Oh, but I think most people associate Michael J. Fox with the Back to the Future movies, even in his book. References the future.
But he was such a big part of my childhood. I think most people who were growing up at the same time as us, a big part of their childhood, that show was, much like the Cosby Show was for me. There were many shows along the way.
There actually weren't that many, Stu Gott.
Really?
There weren't. There were, when you think, if I ask you to name 10 of them, I don't think you could. Like 10 of them that feel to you like Family Ties. It's Facts of Life. It's The Jeffersons. It's All in the Family. What's the other one there?
It's the one with Alan Thicke.
Growing Pains.
Growing Pains, yeah, certainly in there.
All in the Family, Happy Days.
Yeah, they have to be comedies, right?
Yeah.
But there weren't many is the point. Now you have so many options. This makes me wonder about how differently kids are growing up today. Like how many options is your child going to have about what their television is going to be? Because for a generation of us, it's all the same shows. It's 10 shows. It's Dynasty. It's Fantasy Island, Love Boat. It's not that many shows.
There's a new Dynasty with a totally new cast that my daughters watch and they love it. The Carringtons, Blake Carrington. It's so bad. It's really bad. There aren't a lot of shows. Dan, they don't watch TV anymore. I'm telling you right now, my kids are watching TikTok, and it's the only thing they're watching. TikTok, they don't watch TV shows.
And video game culture. Yeah. People love watching other people play video games now. Crazy.
Did you guys just reference the Love Boat?
Yes.
We did, yeah.
I'm old enough to remember
Captain Steubing.
Other people talk about Love Boat. I was more TGIF. I was Family Matters step by step.
Wait a minute. But your generation, see, I feel like Roy straddles pop culture-wise. Roy, you know, there wasn't a show we mentioned that you didn't know, right? You knew all of those.
I knew all the shows that you guys mentioned.
But I would imagine that Billy and Chris didn't. Because I just imagine that those shows are too ancient for them. So was it the same for you guys? Billy, Chris, Tony, and Mike, did you guys grow up on the same 10 shows? And was Fresh Prince one of them?
Yeah, because Fresh Prince was replayed. That was when syndication was massive, what became UPN and was now My 33. Your afternoon, you get home from school, you turn on UPN, you watch Family Matters, Fresh Prince,
oh, yeah.
A Different World. You'd watch all the great shows. I've seen every single episode of those shows. And I knew some of the older shows, too, because Nickelodeon, at night would become Nick at Night. I watch all these classic shows like I Love Lucy. I still watch I Love Lucy.
Dan, I think you're forgetting there weren't just 10 shows. I mean, there were Charles in Charge, WKRP in Cincinnati, Night Court, Webster, Growing Pains.
I love Night Court.
A lot of shows.
I would watch Night Court with my grandparents and Walker, Texas Ranger. Ooh, and Highlander.
Who would have thought this Joe Rogan from News Radio would have amounted to anything, huh?
Right? I love News Radio. Phil Hartman, so underrated.
So how much catching up did you guys do with Nick at Night? Billy, were you watching the same stuff Mike was watching on Nick at Night?
Yeah, I watched all the old shows on Nick at Night. Like, that's what I would watch before I went to bed. Like, I Love Lucy. I feel like, what else would I watch on there?
The Honeymooners.
Dragnet.
No.
When it got later in
the day. You guys are going to late 60s, early 70s.
That's what Nick at Night would be. And now Nick at Night is shows that are 20 years old, and you're flipping through the channels. I'm like, wow, this is whack. But like, I Love Lucy was essentially as old of a show to me as like Everybody Loves Raymond is to someone watching Nickelodeon these days. It's
Brady Bunch, Different Strokes, Good Times, where there were very few good times. It was one of the most depressing shows I've ever seen in my entire life.
They're still trotting out the Honeymooners, aren't they? I mean, that's going back to like the 50s.
I think they recently redid it.
Yeah.
Head run.
How about you, Chris? Were you doing it through Nick at Night as well?
Mm-hmm. I watched all the shows these guys are talking about. The only one that you mentioned that I've literally never heard of is Dynasty.
Tony, how about you? Like, because you're the youngest one in the entire group. Like, how much of the stuff that we're talking about here is outdated for you?
A lot of it, to be honest. But I remember watching Gilligan's Island and Beverly Hillbillies like that on TV Land. There wasn't even Nick at Night at that point because I'm a half decade younger than almost everybody. Like, I wasn't watching those things at the same time. So when I became their age at that point, I was watching like PTI and Around the Horn, like the early versions of that.
You're watching me? I'm your childhood television.
You're his Lucy.
So old. Oh,
Summers on PTI. So wait a minute.
Wow.
So Tony, I am a character from your childhood.
You're Michael J. Fox.
I am your Michael J., not Fox. Yeah, I am.
You're like the Fonz.
Michael J. Kinda. Fat.
Yeah. Happy Days, Sit on It, Potsy.
Happy Days,
Bewitched, and I Dream of Jeannie, which seemed like pretty much the same show.
Oh, man, those ones I watched a lot.
Okay, but you guys realize what you're doing, those are not our childhood shows, really, because all the things you guys are mentioning are 70s shows. Right. When you're doing Gilligan's Island, when all these ones that you've mentioned here recently are 1970s. We haven't even gotten to the 80s
yet. I would go to Specs, and I would buy a CD of the greatest TV show themes of all time. That's why I was singing along with the Green Acres theme, even though I think I've seen like 3 episodes of Green Acres.
Ba-da-ba-da-da.
Ba-ba-ba.
How
did the Globetrotters end up on Gilligan's Island?
Did the pig talk on Green Acres? It's a good question, Billy. Jim Lefevre also ended up on Gilligan's Island. I think he was.
And they got off, but Gilligan, poor Gilligan, and the professor and Marianne.
None of them could get off. I never really understood how the Harlem Globetrotters could just show up on an island and not help them back.
Play a basketball game and not help them back. You're right.
It's weird.
All right, peace, guys. Wait a second. They're trapped. Have a heart.
At least tell someone, you know?
Did the Green Acres pig talk on television? Was it a talking pig or was it just a pet pig? Does anyone remember? Why would you remember? Roy, you're my only saving grace here.
I believe it was a pet pig, Dan.
Was his name Arnold or is that?
Yes,
but he didn't Arnold. Talk.
Yes, Charlotte's Web.
Are you confusing it with Charlotte's
Mr. Web? Ed?
Mr. Ed, which was a part of Nick at Night.
Yeah, Mr. Ed, talking horse.
Green Acres, by the context clues, is a farm animal show. I don't understand the reference to the pig that talks.
It's there's a Gabor in there.
No, Green Acres is a place Zaza. To be.
Oh, the Beverly Hillbillies.
Wow.
Que Pasa USA.
Oh, yes. Oh, wait a minute.
Que Pasa USA.
Wait a minute. That we got to talk about this. Hold on a second. Tony, do you know what Que Pasa USA is, or are you not?
Of course, Dan. I'm Cuban. I have
understand,
to know what
Que Pasa USA is. I don't know what that is.
All right, you're watching young, in Spanish. Tony.
What?
Stephen Bauer, who became Manolo from Scarface, was the dumb brother on Que Pasa USA. What else can you tell people about Que Pasa USA? Because that's the only show... You talk about black shows, Roy. We didn't have... That's it. That is all we had that looked like our childhood. Que Pasa USA was the only thing on television that spoke to Latin people like, oh, I recognize that.
I have to look at the history of Que Pasa USA because to me it was always a public access show.
Yeah, I think it's like 12 episodes or something. Everyone remembers it fondly, and there was like so few episodes of it.
Yeah, that was on Channel 2. That was the PBS station.
Four seasons, 39 episodes.
Seen every single one.
Twice. Many times. How funny is that, though, Mike? There's not a second show for Latin kids, is there, where we recognize anything about our childhood, our parents?
We're not of the age group, but George Lopez was that show for other people.
Really?
Yeah. George Lopez had a hell of a run, that show.
George Lopez?
Look, we're a little too old for it, but there were people. Tony, back me up on this. Is the George Lopez show a big deal in terms of breaking down barriers for people of a certain age?
Yeah, I'd say for other people. I never got into it. Like, it didn't speak to me the way it spoke to other people, but I'm sure that there is a certain subsection of people my age.
There's a big difference between Mexican Hispanic and Cuban Hispanic. So obviously, Que Pasa USA speaks to me, and it's going to resonate
more. All the Hispanics but are Latinx, different Hispanics.
Yeah, yes, Latinx, George Lopez meant a lot to them.
I guess that's the distinction I wasn't making. You were doing general Hispanic, and I was doing specifically Cuban, because Que Pasa USA was the only show I saw on television in which I recognized what my life was.
There was nothing on TV that was really the best, like, Cuban character in TV history. Razor Ramon.
How about the weekly Menudo concerts?
What do you mean the weekly Menudo concert?
Did they have one like every Saturday Menudo performed on national TV? Am I remembering that incorrectly? I believe that was the case.
I don't know what you're talking about. Menudo was
It happened.
What are you telling us happened, though?
I'm just saying.
Hold on, Billy. What are you laughing at?
I'm just learning about this too. So every Saturday, everyone's like, "All right, guys, it's time for the Menudo concert. Put on Channel 7."
They would give you like two songs, and that's it. I wouldn't call it a concert; just a couple of songs. I'll look into it. Hold on.
Menudo was a boy band. Was it the first popular boy band? It was the first popular Latin boy band.
Yeah. I think, is there still a version of Menudo around? Because they kept,
really?
They kept bringing it back and they tried to take the vowels out of it. I tried out for it. They had casting for it.
Wait a minute. Hold on a minute. Yeah. Let's give us all the details that you can on your tryout for Menudo, please.
Oh, I was bad. I didn't speak Spanish, but I'm like, what's your last name?
Wait a minute. You were eye candy? You were just there to look good
that's what boy bands were, especially during that time. So they just, any Latin kid with a Latin last name that had a headshot was asked
to try
out for Menudo.
All right, so hold on. So the audition, did they ask you to sing or say anything in Spanish and you couldn't?
No, I did my best. I was very clearly not comfortable because it wasn't my first language or a good singer.
But did you do you recall it with like haunting right now in terms of remembering bad experience?
I remember that's around the time I decided to quit.
Boy bands or quit what? What do you
quit acting? Because I that's why I went by Mike Ryan, because I kept getting typecast. I was like, I wanted to be trying out for NSYNC, not for Menudo. Even though I don't belong in NSYNC. And I'm thankful because
news.
What?
Menudo no longer exists. 1977 to 2009.
Yeah, there was a reboot, though. I tried out for the reboot, and yeah, it didn't go well.
How
for me.
Old were you?
God, I was in middle 31? School. I wished.
It was part of ABC's Saturday morning programming block, a Menudo concert on a weekly basis.
Okay, I'm glad that you came back to that, though, but I don't feel like it has anything to do with USA, Que Pasa USA.
It
think had you,
nothing to do
I
with
think
it.
You just threw it in. You were, I think that...
It's a big part of my youth. I love Menudo.
I think Stugat was simply trying to be a part of the most Hispanic conversation we've ever had around here. And so he looked something up on the internet, and it was a boy band, and it was Latin. And he's like, yeah, Que Pasa USA, I loved it. Menudo was always on. And everyone here was confused, Billy most of all.
Exactly, he is actually 100% right. From 1983 to 1985, Menudo on ABC was a series of four-minute music spots that aired during the fall 1983 season of ABC's youth-oriented Saturday morning programming block.
Who knows more about Hispanic entertainment than me?
No. Stugatz, you looked it up, though. You weren't remembering it. We were all nostalgic. And
you were
just,
looking it up, and you posed it as a question. So.
You looked up, right? You looked up anyway. Something.
Right is right.
He's just confirming
you have your way, I'm on
the internet, right?
You're just trying to be a part of the conversation by lobbing some menudo at us as if you were an honorary Hispanic guy watching Sábado Gigante and Que Pasa USA growing up.
Stugach was right. Yeah. Holy Stugach was right.
Menudo on Wiener.
Ooh, I have that.
Oh, get that. Go. Get that. Get the Juan Wiener, please. Yes, we got to go to Juan Wiener. Thank you, Billy. We don't do this enough. We honestly don't go back in the file. I know many of you think we do it too much.
I hope this is okay, Sil.
A lot
of our older stuff doesn't age well.
Try it out.
All
right, let's
see. Because sensibilities have changed. Remember, if we step into it, just judge us by the moralities of
okay,
the time.
No,
sort of like
on.
All in the Family.
Let's set this up because I've seen those kind of warnings. Have you seen them? They're now on television shows. They give you warnings that on the old shows, hey, there's some racist stuff in here. Like, just know that we were racist back then.
Yeah, I would watch old episodes of SNL and be horrified that the N-word exists, and then I watch Chappelle's Cold Open, and I'm like, oh, okay.
Just know we didn't give
a bleep back then. No, it's not that. It's just a warning that, hey, we were so racist then, we didn't know we were being racist. Sorry about being racist. We know we're racist now. But enjoy this programming with that context. So we don't know, the Juan Wiener, we don't know if there's anything dangerous in here because it's a long time ago, but for some reason we made Stugatz. Do you remember what was the history of this, Billy? Why did we make Stugatz a telenovela star, Juan Wiener, where he was, he was doing Spanish the way you imagine Mike was when he tried out for Menudo?
I don't remember how it started. I remember very panicked having to write in Spanish lines and essentially a script for Stugatz. And I was like, this is hard in English. Now I'm doing it in my second language.
Tony, have you heard any of this? Because I like the idea of just playing stuff for Tony that he doesn't know happened around here.
No, Dan, I went into the archives and found it on the Lebatard Reddit, a Juan Wiener, like at the beginning of the pandemic, because I remember this from when I used to listen to the show as a fan. So I went out and got Juan Wiener and I found it. So it was at least the one that I heard was clean.
I have to dig through because I have like five episodes of context where Juan Wiener was born up. Like, look, I don't have the time to listen.
Some games going on today in the majors. Top eight, the Cardinals lead the Reds 10-0.
I have to listen.
Hold on,
that,
let's listen to some old show like this. How much time do we have before we have
like about a half hour? But I do have the two Juan Wiener things, but we can give
no. Hold
this
on,
a try.
Let's give some context here. I think people would enjoy listening to just how we used to do the radio show. My guess is at this time it was probably different than the way that we're doing it now, so let's listen to some radio show that we were simply doing, some random radio show.
Hold on, I see some commercial music. Let me fast forward past
okay,
that.
Okay, but I also have to give the audience the context of, again, if anything comes out here that doesn't hold up, this warning is right now, we were all stupid back then, and we didn't know we were being stupid, and now it's not okay to be that kind of stupid. Yes, Billy.
Or it was so bad it was just edited out of this because this is taped.
And I'm still stupid.
I don't know how to make his name more Latin. Van Gundy is hurting me.
Yeah, this is a tough one.
Really can't Latinize Van Gundy. It's a little hard.
Well, the S, Estan. Estan. I would think John Wiener might be hard, but Juan Wiener
works perfectly.
Yeah. Now, let me see. Stan, you understand what we're trying to do here, where we're trying to create sort of a television sitcom-y type feel to this. What we want to do is we want to change the name of the show from Dan Lebatard with Stugatz. We want to change it to I Juan Wiener, and like if you're imagining sort of a cheesy 50s type Latin sitcom-y thing where I'm eating an ice cream and he comes by and he knocks it over accidentally and I look at him funny and he just smirks and then, you know, the trumpet blares and it comes out I Juan Wiener, like, you understand what we're trying to do here? It would feel something like this.
Él es Juan Wiener. Sofolista serioso.
Huele como grajo y viejo pescado. El hombre grande universitario.
Ay, es Juan Wiener.
All right.
Even in the middle of that, I'm trying to translate. It was moving very fast, but I believe Stugatz was accused of smelling like old fish.
I mean, this is great. You can insult me. I barely understand English, and now you can do it in Spanish.
I'm pretty sure that what just happened there, and look, there are worse things you could smell like, perhaps like the dumpster behind a crab house, but old fish.
I heard pescado in there. Is that fish? Is
all right, hold on a fish. Second. That's so let's, right.
Let me see if we can isolate this a little like more. Because
old fish and BO. You also you were serious softballista.
Yes.
That was one of my favorite early episodes. In fact, where I would say that we started to find out that the show actually had some chemistry was remembering the discovery on air of you being serious softball guy.
Oh yeah, eye black. I would pepper the pitcher. I would talk trash. I'd slide in the home plate. I'd slide in the first. I mean, whatever you got to do to win.
He would do all the serious softball stuff. He would keep stats. He would. What was some of the other stuff that he would do? It wasn't just sliding at second base. How much more Juan Wiener? Didn't we have him being sensual at one point?
We had a telenovela.
Yeah, that was
that
different.
Featured Magic 102.7's legendary DJ Ron St. John.
All right, do you have that?
Oh,
the late Ron St. John.
Did he die?
Oh, I think.
Did you just kill Ron?
Oh, is that a $50?
I think he's still with us.
Oh, no. Is that a $50 fine? Is that a $50 fine?
Oh, let's find
out. Are you guys sure? Did he just retire instead of die? Oh, no. Oh, this is very tense.
He just retired.
This is very tense. Is Ron
confusing him? Rick Shaw is still with us, right?
Rick Shaw died.
Okay.
I hope.
Is that a reverse?
Wait a minute. I don't hope. Why do I hope? I only hope he died so I don't owe another $50.
So you have an explanation as to why you thought Ron St. John died? Is that why you hope Rick Shaw?
Regardless, somebody's
dead. Rick Shaw did good news, Dan. He's dead.
Okay.
So you got your wish.
Thank you. Thank you. Right.
Congratulations. Yeah.
Well, what about Ron St. John, though?
Nah, he's still with us. Didn't he do the Ginsu knife commercial? And like I think he banked off of that.
Well, he did Juan Wiener. So let's check out Ron St. John's version. This is telenovela star Stu Gatz.
Well, remember, Ron St. John was a bit of a swerve at the end of this episode. So it was a big reveal for our local audience. This may not connect at all with the nation, but let's give it a try.
Todo su vida, Juan Wiener ha buscado el cliché perfecto.
Los más grande que son, lo más duro kind.
Pero ahora, Juan Wiener busca el amor perfecto.
¿Por qué estoy tan solo?
En todos los lugares que no debe.
María. No me importa que estás casando mi mejor amigo, quien también es un delincuente peligroso.
Ay, pero no podemos hacerlo.
No es asunto de poder hacerlo. Tenemos que hacerlo.
Ok, dale.
¿Será posible que este amor sobrevive la separación?
María, ¿dónde estás?
La angustia.
¿Por qué, María?
Las ranas.
¿Ranas? ¿Por qué hay ranas?
Y un mejor amigo de gran maldad, quien no se detiene en nada para matar su romance.
Juan Wiener, estuve esperando que enseñaras tu cara de comadre.
Ron San Juan de Mágico 102.7. ¿Qué has hecho con María?
Cosas malas.
Protagonizado por Juan Wiener.
María.
I remind you that Mike Ryan says that Pablo Torre's ESPN Daily is overproduced. There are some things I need to translate for you non-English speakers. At one point, non-Spanish speakers.
The non-English ones, I think, were fine.
Yes. I think that Stu Gatz doesn't know much of what he said there in Spanish, though.
No idea.
One of the things he said was, "Why am I so alone?" He was on a search for the perfect cliche. Then for some reason, he was mad kind of at Maria, who had married his best friend, a dangerous delinquent. There was some fear of frogs in there for no good reason. And then Ron St. John emerged and said to Stu Gatz that he wanted to see his coward face.
Well, he was the friend. And then Juan Wiener asked Ron St. Juan what exactly he did with Maria, and he said cosas malas.
Yes, bad things. Ron St. John. I want you to go ahead and Google search Ron St. John so you could see who the nemesis was that walked into Stugatz's telenovela life and judged his coward face.
That's next level stuff right there. I'm proud of that.
What else do you have? Do you have anything else from the Juan Wiener catalog? Is there more?
Did Ron St. John walk around with a boat captain's hat, or am I remembering that wrong?
That's Rick,
I feel like
that
someone
was Rick
in
Shaw.
That studio
that was
Rick Shaw.
Oh, okay,
yes.
So yes. Someone, I'm not crazy.
No,
there
you're
was
not
a boat
crazy.
Captain.
Rick but I made the same mistake, though, Billy. My mistake was in hearing and learning that the sailor hat had passed away and thinking it was Ron St. John, that I had the wrong legendary DJ.
There was also someone that used to walk around in socks. All across the studio. I don't know if you guys remember that. Up and down the hallways, just in socks. And I thought, that was weird.
Radio is weird,
that
right?
Was radio.
Billy,
not weird.
Billy, did you not know? Did you guys see? You guys have had such a different experience with radio than the rest of us have over here, including Roy, in that this world that we live in is not real radio. That one was. All those weirdos in the vending machine cafeteria room, just an assortment of soup noodle eaters. Like, that, just nothing. Weirdo after weirdo in there.
And I don't know if you guys ever saw this, but when I would stay late once a week or so, it was usually like around 8 or so. You guys had already left for the day, so I don't know if you ever saw it. There was always like a tour of the studio for Boy Scouts and Cub Scouts, like once a week or once every 2 weeks. And you just see like, I'm there trying to put up the podcast and Frito's doing a show in the other room. And there was like that big glass wall.
Rob
and then
Sidney.
You just see like, you just see a Cub Scout parade of people pointing in and looking at Frito do his show and like wave.
Because radio was fascinating. Look at all these people talking into microphones. Entertainment for young people. Those Boy Scouts as adults would be so disappointed by what those hallways actually looked like, because we exist in your heads always, right, Stugatz? People,
yes.
Now television has made it different, but people usually think you look a certain way from your voice and are almost always stunned, not with television now that they know what you look like.
They'd
but,
walk in with excitement and they would end up being disappointed every
dude.
Single time.
Because they
time.
Thought you were a big guy, right? Like
They
like
thought
just,
the studios were nicer. They thought the studios were bigger. They thought I was a big guy. They thought you were thinner. They never, never, never were happy except when they were walking in. When they saw us, everything
disappointment.
I do miss pre-radio and pre-social, pre-internet, pre-social media radio because it was such a mystery as to what people actually looked like. I remember once finding a picture of Cox on the radio, and I was like, "No, really."
I had the same reaction with Francesa, man. It ruined it. Yeah.
And Power 96 had this character
no,
Tyrone
but
Steele.
Hold on, Mike. Hold on. What did you think Cox on the radio looked like? Because
not what he'd look like.
Okay, no, but what he looked like, you guys need to Google this as well, because what he looked like is a roly-poly, sort of red, debaucherous comb-over.
He had a mustache.
A terrible mustache. Not cool in any way, but sounded cool on the radio.
Well, like, there were a lot of legacy hosts that stayed with Power 96, even though it was going through this early 90s and mid-90s change. So there were a lot of DJs that hip-hop music, it wasn't really their background, but hey, they were sticking around, and Cox on the radio was one of those holdovers that was doing this like hip-hop
That's clever,
radio
by the
show.
Way, calling yourself Cox on the radio. That was so edgy for that time.
Now it seems as though, but through the ears of a child, I didn't think anything of it. Now it's obviously a penis name.
What do you think Neil Rogers looked like? Like,
well, Neil Rogers, my first exposure to Neil Rogers was on Whammy. So I never listened to his radio show because I wanted to listen to sports. I was always sort of confused as why the non-sports guy was on the sports station. I would always just tune out and listen to classical music with my grandfather as he drove me around town going to castings. But he would be on Whammy's original lineup. Tyrone Steele was another character on Power 96. He was a part of Get Up and Go with Mindy and Bo. And he was very clearly doing a black voice. And I went to the Dade County Youth Fair to watch a live version of Family Double Dare. And this white Canadian-looking guy came out, and he was talking in his white guy voice. And he's like, "But some of you might know me as Tyrone Steele." And he started doing
Are
the Tyrone Steele.
Are you bleeping kidding me? There was a dude doing doing radio as a black guy who wasn't black?
Roy, do you remember Tyrone Steele?
No, but he was basically doing blackface on the radio.
It was a hip hop character. It was certainly not his real voice. It was a different time back then.
Wow.
Guys, I have sad news. Don Cox passed away at 55 in 2003.
Oh, I know.
What happened with him though? Because he seemed like a real partier. He seemed like he was red from partying.
He had a whiskey nose.
And he was like swollen.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously didn't look like the fittest guy.
He looked unhealthy.
I don't know why we're doing this. Poor Cox on the radio when he's not here to defend himself.
No, because we're doing this because you just referenced for the audience being shocked by the way someone looks, and the audience doesn't know who we're talking about. I need to help them understand the person that you're talking about.
I could tell you, like, the radio team that I thought just based on their voices that was the coolest, like they were going to be super cool when I met them, was the first team with Defo, Joe Rose, and Goldie.
Yes, really? I thought it was Rick and Suds.
Paul and Young Ron for me. When I saw what Young Ron looked like and it turned out to be an ironic nickname, I was mildly disappointed.
How about this? I will tell you a story that's going to make you a little bit sad now as we discuss, for some reason, early 80s and 90s radio in South Florida. Paul and Ron worked together. You could say that in the history of South Florida radio, the big stars have been Neil Rogers, Paul and Ron, and us, really. Yeah. Like
Hank, I would throw Hank in there.
Kenny Walker.
DJ Laz.
Jim Mandich.
Bobby and Footy.
It's just English radio, too. Spanish radio is a whole nother
category. It's a whole nother thing. Yeah. You're Footy. Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Jim Mandich, probably, as well. Yeah.
Spanish radio, we're throwing in Alvarez Guedes.
And so we are talking about this absurd, ridiculous time where Neil Rogers was running the airwaves down here, right?
Don't forget Big Lip Bandit.
Neil had the, if you're wondering why a non-sports show was on a sports station, it was because of one reason and one reason only, massive ratings.
But Cox on the radio, Mike, is somebody that you thought looked like what? What were you getting from him?
I wasn't getting fat guy with a mustache and a comb over. I just certainly wasn't getting that. I just thought normal white guy. I did this thing that after it was revealed to me what Tyrone Steele actually was, which seemed like a white Canadian guy.
I can't believe how racist that is.
I mean, it was a pretty diverse show. Bo was on it, and not Kim Bo Camper. And she didn't she do like these psychic reading commercials? So I think she had a national pedigree.
Roy, are you offended? Are you offended retroactively on the idea you're just learning about a character that was a white guy who sounded like a black guy on the radio?
I mean, what the hell is that, Dan? That's offensive.
It really is. Yeah. But Mike, I want to hear more about this young Mike Ryan and this pursuit of child stardom and being taken from casting to casting. How long did you spend doing this?
We're right around Thanksgiving. Let's like cool off there. This is not exactly a great time in my life.
It is not?
No. Well, crack open a beer and we'll talk about it some other time.
Okay, because you just dropped on us that your mom passed away around Thanksgiving. You threw that out at
us. Thanks for reminding me.
You brought it up.
The 20th. She died on the 23rd.
Oh, Jesus.
I want to talk about child star Mike being dragged from place to place. Don't you think? Do you guys have any information on this? This is not a part of Mike's life that I know or remember.
No, I mean...
You're talking about it.
Yeah, there was some fun stuff. There was some fun parts. I mean, there was a lot of failure. There was a lot of money being stolen. A lot of drugs. Yeah. I just made that last part up.
Good times.
Eight-year-old Mike Ryan doing... We're doing Behind the Music.
I remember there was a rap party with Drew
Mike
Barrymore
Ryan's
where
failed.
We were just bumping rails.
Didn't you have a feud with Demi Moore's daughter because she stole a part from you?
Yeah. Striptease. That's when I discovered nepotism. And now it's an everyday part of my life.
Hate it.